And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, I was just reminded that the Oysters are now back in season.
I got it.
By Joe Cabibbo, our sound man. And
Mr. Cabibbo is my partner. He and I went out, and we roused him up out of the oyster beds out there. Can I come right in on
Yeah, place? Sure. I'd like to talk to you for just a second here. You and Joe are in business,
I know.
And you have oyster beds?
Yeah, no, we just sell oysters on the 1st of September.
Around CBS here, huh?
That's right. It's kind of a little local thing.
Kind of a little ritual that's gone through every year.
That's right.
How have you been doing today?
Pretty good. I sold a bunch of oysters all around different people.
These are on the half shell that you have?
No. They're in the shell, and they're iced, and they're very good. The oysters look good this year. We had a little trouble there for a while with the starfish. Starfish attack your sleeping oysters during the winter months, summer months.
Have you ever come across a pearl in one? Or is that just a...
That's no palaver.
It is.
You can come across a pearl. However...
However what?
Well, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, let's get on to another subject here. In your times working in these oyster beds, you haven't possibly come across any sign of Dave, our whale, have you?
No, we never have seen Dave. We've been looking for him. Therefore
what? Let's change our line of questioning. You can have a picture of Dave if you'd like it. We have some in the office here, or you can write to us for one.
Thank you. Joe did bring one home. I tell you, I'd like one for myself, though, and I can put it up in my barn.
Well, okay, and a great deal of thanks to you, and Joe, a lot of thanks to you for having your friend come in with these oysters. It was really a very pleasant surprise today. However,
well, it talks with ends with connectives, I guess, as they say. Say, have you been reading in the paper recently about the bird fall up in New York?
Yeah, I did.
Do we have time for that now?
I think we should. It seems that Mount Vernon, New York, has been plagued by a flock
starlings.
Of starlings, and they engaged a gentleman at a pretty good price to...
I think $4,000 if he could get rid of all these starlings. I think he's from Indiana. And he goes, uses two metal strips and pounds them together. And then he has a little gentle chime. And he says that it has worked before. However, so far, it hasn't scared the starlings off permanently. They fly away when they hear him coming down the street, but then they come back after he's gone. But he says it may take three or four treatments before it's all over. So, it's been very interesting. Wally Blue is up in Bronxville, and I think he has a follow-up story to all this bird talk. So come in, please, Wally Blue.
Ibler, follow-up story here in Bronxville, where we're chatting, or about to chat, with a gentleman who has been engaged for the same purpose, to rid some of the townspeople of some of these birds. This right now is a veritable birdwatcher's paradise. Birds of all type and description are making themselves available to the watchers. You may hear a lady guide over to my right who is identifying some of the birds for the people in her group.
Baltimore Oriole.
She just pointed out the Baltimore Oriole, and a while back, we saw a ruby-throated hummingbird.
A wood thrush.
There's a wood thrush just...
Come on, lady, let's go.
Go out of the bush.
Come on, lady, let's get these birds out of here.
Here's the gentleman we came to talk to.
Let's go. Come on, birds.
Would you, sir, tell us how you're faring and getting the birds out of Rocksville?
I use a different system. I don't use any metal clanking or bells or chimes or guns or anything. I just yell them out of the trees and tell them to head off.
Could we have a sample of...
better.
Could we have a sample of how you work? Or
All right, Steve.
Well,
Is it too early? You see this one tree up here? Looks like a pin oak. You notice there's a bunch of starlings up there, and I think they're down from Mount Vernon.
I see. You're going to try to head them back that way?
I don't care where they go, just as long as they leave Bronxville.
All right. Well, now we'll hear a bird chaser as he goes
forward. Come on, birds, get out of here! Come on! Come on, birds! Hit the road! Let's go! Hey, come on.
Well, it seems to be working.
Don't get me mad, buddies. Let's go.
He's shooing the birds out of the tree.
Hey, you want one
still
left
one left there.
Right guy. Come on, I see you. Come on.
He's telling the bird he sees it.
Come on, get out of there now. Come on.
There it goes. I think you've been successful, sir. They did head back in the direction of Mount Vernon.
Well, they can have them back there. We don't want them here in Bronxville.
Where's your next job? Are you lined up for another engagement?
From here, I'm going to California. A lot of birds out there.
Busy season out there, huh? Well, good luck, sir. And certainly your work is well done. It was here.
Cut out for me.
For the birds. And now this is
Randy Orton. Wait a minute, there's one there still.
Come on now!
Now, we can't wait. You may be here all night.
Come on!
This is Radio's Wally Ballou, returning it now to New York.
Thank you, Wally, for an interesting sidelight to the bird story.
I'd like to hear some of those birds on one of the Columbia stereo phonograph sets.
That is.
It would be very good stereophonically.
Very, very beautiful sounding things. Have you seen them, folks? We're talking about these Columbia phonographs. They have portables that start as low as $24.95. And, of course, they have consoles, too. Start at the amazing low price of $129.95.
Consoles are crafted like fine furniture. They're a beautiful addition to any room. In fact, they have portables. Columbia does, for every room, every budget, and every listening need.
Say, if you haven't heard this really three-dimensional stereophonic sound, why don't you go down to your Columbia dealer? He'll be delighted to demonstrate for you, and really, it's a wonderful sound. You've never heard music like you've heard or will hear on this stereophonic high fidelity at your Columbia phonograph dealer. See them all. There are plenty. One to fit every room, as Bob said, every budget, every listening need. Columbia Dealer is headquarters for Columbia Phonographs.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Bob and Ray unrehearsed courtroom of the air is now in session.
In a moment, you'll be hearing unrehearsed courtroom dramas involving live actors who will be doing away with the technical know-how of real-life judges, genuine lawyers, legitimate district attorneys, and the rest of those tedious law people with years and years of solid knowledge. And now, Superior Court 3, County of Henderson, Superior Court Judge Presser presiding.
So, my good man, I have no recourse but to sentence you to not more than one, or more than 20, no more than 20, and far less than one. No, that's not it. And so, my good chap, you're going to get a flat 15 years. Hey, silence. Hear any more noise? I'll have another demonstration. I have a few words to say to the prisoner before I remand him to the custody of the country, his city. Silence! Silence!
Honor.
Speak up, Bailey.
It's Bailiff, not Bailey. I got something to tell you.
Well, if the Bailey has a complaint, he can see me in my personal chamber later on. Now, I have a few words to say to the prisoner.
No, kid, not. You ought to listen to me, really.
Prisoner, 15 years is a long time, but you deserve it. Never in all my years on this seat have I heard of such outrageous conduct, such wanton disregard for personal property, your callous actions, your heinous, absolutely ruthless...
All right, you're sentencing the wrong guy. He's the district attorney, I tried to tell you. It's the DA you got there.
However, some new evidence has been introduced that might shed some new light on the case before me.
Oh, you'll never get out of this, Art.
Waldo Vincent, you stand before me a convicted man, a man about to be sent to the reformatory. And yet, it's my belief that the scales of justice are tipping your way.
Oh, it'll never work.
A few minutes ago, you were about to go to prison, but looking at you, I wonder. I wonder if jail is really the answer for you. Oh, I'm not condoning what you've done, mind you. Manslaughter can be serious sometimes.
You said it, Art.
So, keeping that in mind, you seem like a very decent chap. Now, Waldo, we've all done things we're ashamed of.
Like you're doing now, Art.
So, I'm going to put it to you this way, Waldo Vincent. While the court cannot completely forgive the prisoner for his crime, I'm going to do all that's in my power...
Careful now, Art.
...to ease the burden of your sentence. And I believe the only way I can do that is to set you free, my good man.
Now, see, I told you it wouldn't work. Now, how are you going to stop the courtroom spectators from demonstrating?
And everybody in the court is hereby sentenced to 10 days in jail for snideness, contempt. Take them away, Bailey.
Well, I'm going to hand it to you, all right?
This session of the Bob and Ray Unrehearsed Courtroom of the Air is now closed.
You want to chatter a little bit about something?
Bob, I wish we had time, but we want to get to Johnny Braddock and his sports opponent.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that's good.
Let's go.
This is Johnny Braddock welcoming you to another edition of Sportsophone. You all know the game. I'll start describing a famous sports figure, and as soon as you think you know who it is, call me, Johnny Braddock at Pickering 6. The first person with the correct answer will win a valuable prize. And let's go now. The sports figure I'm thinking of has many times been involved in tape measure home runs. His initials are M.M.
Braddock. The guy you're talking about's Mickey Mantle. He's been involved in tape measure home runs, okay? Send a valuable prize to Lou Cornshafter, care of B. Ragsdale, Pulver Heights, Maryland.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cornshafter, but there'll be no valuable prize for you. Mickey Mantle is not the correct answer.
Boy, what a con artist you are, Braddock. You can't stand it if someone guesses right, can you? You change the sports figure in midair if a guy guesses
it. It's a serious charge, Mr. Cornshafter. Ordinarily, I'd demand satisfaction from you, but it would involve an expensive trip to Maryland and a good deal of tedium once I got there.
Well, if it ain't Mickey Mantle, who is it? I mean, Braddock, who hits a ball that long that has to be measured?
The answer to that, Mr. Cornshafter, is in our underground vault, tucked away from prying eyes. And Mr. Minethy, our accountant, is standing guard over the vault, ledger book in hand, ready to do battle, flail away at intruders if need be.
Horse feathers, Braddock. You're a phony and you know it.
Thank you for the kind appellation, Mr. Cornshafter. Goodbye.
Baloney.
Now, the sports figure I'm thinking of, the one involved in tape measure home runs, was a boy who gained wind and endurance by running the tape measure from home plate to the deepest part of the bleachers. A sickly lad at first.
Oscar Levant.
No, sir.
Cheat.
A sickly lad at first.
I got your clue, Mr. Braddock. It's got to be Musial, Scarron, Hodges, Cepeda, Mickey Vernon, or any one of a bunch of other first basemen.
What makes you think our famous sports figure is a first baseman?
Well, I thought the key words, the clue, so to speak, were the words at first.
Well, I wouldn't say the first baseman you just mentioned were sickly. They all seem robust to me.
Well, Braddock, who made you a doctor? You got trouble enough lying on your program without getting into the field of medicine. I'll bet you don't even know the difference between measles and mumps.
Yes, I do. The difference is about an inch and a half.
Very funny, Braddock. I'll take vanilla.
And this sickly lad grew up and became a champion swimmer who appeared in many Olympic contests. Later, he played the role of Tarzan in many movies. His first name is Johnny. His last initial is W.
This is Cornshafter from Maryland again. You got my address. Don't horse around, Braddock. The guy you're talking about, Johnny Wiseball, Tarzan in the movie. Send a valuable prize.
Wrong again, Cornshafter. The figure I'm thinking of is Johnny Williams.
Braddock, this guy Johnny Williams, he never played Tarzan in the movies, did he?
Not that I know of, Cornshafter.
But you said he did.
I made a mistake.
I'll get you for this, Braddock. On a dark night, I'll get you.
Yeah, this is Johnny Braddock closing out another edition of Sportsophone.
Nice going, Johnny. And that's just about it for now. Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Going places, go with radio and the CBS Radio Network. Your city editor's report is next on KNX, AM and FM, CBS.